Hello, and thanks for tuning into the Corporate Yogi Podcast. I'm your host, Julie Zusak. This podcast is your dedicated time for growth, for developing practical tools, and to building your personal relationship and learning deeply about who you are, not just what you do. Because doing is awesome, but being, the art of who you are and who you are becoming, well, that's where the magic happens. And that is what makes you feel truly fulfilled. You're going to love this episode on how to avoid the biggest mistake that leaders make. So here's a look at what you're going to learn today. In the first segment, I'm going to reveal what the three biggest mistakes are. Then in the second segment, we'll talk about what your leadership legacy is. And then in the last segment, I'm going to give you a three-step process, one, two, three, to start defining what your leadership brand is. Sound good? All right, so let's get out of your head and into your heart, shall we? Now, for those of you who are managers, I know that you are striving to be the best manager that you can be. There's no end to the number of articles and blogs and books about leadership, but most of them are overwhelming and theoretical at best. So today I want to do something different. I want to give you real-world advice from my clients about what they really want from their managers. So no theory today, just real-world practical advice that you can translate into action. And we're going to start off by talking about the biggest complaints that people make about their managers. Remember, every day, all day, I work with clients and I get to hear right from them about what they do and don't like from their manager. So do you have an idea or can you guess about what that might be? Okay, I won't leave you hanging any longer in suspense. I'm going to share the top three. Here they are. Number one, not giving enough feedback. Number two is not having regular, proper career conversations. And number three is lacking vision and confidence. All right, so that's one, two, and three. How did those land with you? Any surprises in there? Well, there shouldn't be. Anything sound really familiar or jump out as to something that you might be guilty of? At the end of the day, people just want to be seen and heard. They want to know that you will stand up for them, that you really care. And great leadership, you know, it isn't really complicated. It's not really hard. It's just time consuming and it requires an investment. It requires you to be consistent. So before we dive deeper into each of these three, I want to check in with you. Do you feel like any of these three are something that you are guilty of? If we were to ask your employees, what would they have to say? Would you have the courage to check in and ask them? All right, so let's start by talking about feedback more deeply. Now, feedback is a dedicated balance about how to do it just right. So I've gathered a list of ways that we screw up when we give feedback specifically. So buckle in your seatbelt. I have about five different ways here of how we screw up feedback when we give it. And then at the end, I'm going to share a couple tips of how to do it actually correctly. Okay, so the first way that we screw up when we give feedback is we don't give enough feedback. Our team members want to hear from us. They want to hear from us regularly, and they are craving feedback, and they want lots of it. Feedback helps them to know if they are on track with their goals. It helps them to know if they are delivering in alignment with what's expected of them. It helps them to know if they are growing in the right ways. Another way we screw up is when the feedback that we give doesn't have the right context or situation to explain what happened. Now, Brené Brown is always famous, you might have heard this before, for saying being clear is kind. I'll say that again. Being clear is kind, especially when giving feedback. And that means that we need to be really specific about the environment that we are in when we're giving our employees feedback. And we need to explain the circumstances they were in. We need to explain the people they were with. Those are all important things about being clear. Another way we screw up with feedback is if we don't give positive and negative feedback to our employees. Usually, most of us are hardwired for one or for the other. And it's just one of them is usually typically more comfortable for us, or it's one that we were used to receiving from our manager. We've just become conditioned for it. We also screw up if we're not authentic or sincere when we deliver the feedback, because this distracts people away from really absorbing what we are saying and really hearing what we are saying and what we need to tell them. Another way we screw up is when we don't follow up on the feedback that we give. It's not enough to just deliver the feedback and then drop the hot potato and run away and never talk about it again. You've got to follow up. And so the follow-up conversation might be a positive one of giving them, you know, feedback that they've changed and you've observed that. And it might be a conversation where you say, you know what, I know we talked about this last month and I haven't seen the results that I wanted to, and I think we need to address it again. So it's not just enough to have that productive conversation. We also have to circle back and have a follow-up discussion for ourselves and for our employees to see if they've made progress or to see if they have any questions or maybe they didn't understand what we said to them. So here's an example about not giving enough feedback. And this is a really important one that I hear from time to time always with employees. And it's that people are actually surprised when they are either fired for non-performance or they're put on a PIP. And this is all in the spirit of giving feedback. Because the truth here is that their leader should have been giving them feedback all the way along and letting them know that they haven't been meeting their targets and haven't been delivering on what was expected of them. There should be no surprises when a performance conversation happens. The leader should be bearing some of that responsibility for lack of performance. So here's the tough love. If your employee is surprised when they are fired for being an underperformer, then it actually says more about your performance as a leader than it does about their performance as an IC. So that's a rich concept. I'm going to say it again. If your employee is surprised when they're fired for being an underperformer or put on a PIP, it actually says more about your performance as a leader, aka giving feedback, than it does say about their performance as an IC. It's time to hold up that mirror, take a good hard look at yourself. Now, I'm not talking about layoffs or redundancies. I'm talking about actual performance. Your team is supposed to know where they stand at all times. And you, as a leader, it's your responsibility to communicate this to them, whether it's a comfortable conversation or not. Whether it's positive or negative, there should never be any surprises, all right? So it's your responsibility to make sure that they're getting the feedback, that they know when they stand. Now, this also applies to constructive, tough feedback. You want to be able to watch your employees when you're giving the feedback. If they have edge behavior present, you know that they are receiving news or information that is new to them. And what I mean by that is if they seem surprised, if they get defensive, if they look frozen or want to change the topic or uncomfortable, then that is edge behavior showing up. And that is a sign that you haven't been given giving regular feedback enough in the past. It also helps you to know, are they absorbing the information? Okay, so that's the first tip, is to observe edge behavior when you're giving feedback, because it will help you to understand how they're receiving it. The second tool I want to give you about feedback is the playback tool. And some of you might be familiar with this. Some of this might be new information for you, but here's what it looks like. You give someone a piece of feedback and you say, can you play that back to me? So you can say, you know, your presentation was really impactful, but I think it could have been a faster paced, or it could have been more engaging. And the person, your employee, says, okay, great. And you want to make, but you're not really sure whether they understood that feedback or not, or whether their expectation of more engaging aligns with your definition of more engaging. So you can say, can you play that back to me and paint a picture of what that looks like to you? That's the playback tool. All right, so that completes our discussion on feedback. We talked about a number of ways that we screw up when we give feedback, and then I just gave you a couple of tools to use to be better at giving feedback, which is watching for edge behavior and using the playback tool. And also using the SBI framework, the situation behavior impact, is also another great way to give feedback if you want to be really specific. So let's move on here. We're going to talk about the second way how we screw up, which is not prioritizing career conversations. Now, I could really just summarize this entire conversation with one statement and say, at their core, people just want to be seen and heard. They care about their future, and they want to care about your future too. And a lot of managers avoid this conversation because they're scared. They're scared they're going to find out that their employee wants to leave the organization or leave their job and discover that the job that they're in isn't actually their dream job. And, you know, that's a hard blow to our ego. But what we have to recognize is that a lot of cases, our dream job isn't actually the job that we're in today. And this is something that you should welcome, and you should really be happy that you're finding out now, because your job is to do everything possible to get your employee into that dream job. And if they're not, then you need to create a path for them to get it there. So some of you will take this personally because you want your employees to be loyal. But let's be realistic and look at what goes on. In many circumstances, the average time that people spend in a job is only 2 years. So we need to be aware of this and have conversations on a regular basis. Do your best to make your employees' dreams come true, whether those dreams be at your company or elsewhere. Remember, people want to learn and grow, and you want to be the one that facilitates that growth. And it's not up to you to have all the answers. You just need to be a good listener. And really, to be honest, career conversations are just simply personal development conversations. So dive in and don't fear finding out something that you don't think you want to know. All right? So that's our discussion on mistake number two, not having enough career conversations. Let's address the third biggest mistake that leaders make, which is not having enough vision and confidence as a leader. Now, employees want to work for someone who is going to inspire them, who is going to stand up for them. And this is a factor that makes your employees loyal to you and makes them want to go above and beyond in their performance. Confidence allows us to make decisions in a timely manner. It also gives us the ability to create a personal brand that people want to follow. So when we have a vision for the team and where the team is going and how we can eloquently share that vision, it's really important. These are all things that people look for in a leader. Now, we typically wrap all this up in the buzzword of storytelling these days. You can also call it vision casting. I quite frankly don't care what you call it, so long as you do it regularly and you inspire your employees. All right, so let's start to wind down this first segment here. The three biggest mistakes that leaders make are: one, not giving enough feedback; two, not having regular career conversations; and three, not having vision and confidence. All right, in the first segment, we talked about all of the mistakes that are made. And now I want to talk to you about how to be a great leader. I want to redirect your energy so that you can focus on the things that you need to be doing to be a great leader and let go of all the mistakes. So we're going to dive into one of my favorite topics, leadership legacy. So your leadership legacy is the culmination of every single interaction that you have with others. And you become intentional about your leadership legacy. This is probably one of the most important things that you can do as a leader. However, most leaders don't spend time thinking about it. And quite frankly, they don't even really understand what it is. They mistakenly think of legacy as what we leave behind after we're gone, or how people will remember us. What will be dedicated to us after we're gone? Is it going to be a park bench, a hospital wing, a scholarship, a bursary? Or we might think of legacy as how many people will you have at your funeral? Who will pay tribute to you? What will your obituary say? What will people remember you by? Yes, these are all legacy things, 100%, absolutely. But this is a very narrow-sighted way of thinking about your leadership legacy. There's so much more to it, and I want to key you into this today. We have to understand that legacy is so much more than how we are remembered after we are gone. It's about how we make people feel. It's about what we teach them. It's about how we treat them each and every single day, each and every interaction that we have with them. Your leadership legacy is the culmination of every single interaction that you have with people. It is your impact as a leader. So here's the definition. Your leadership legacy is the culmination of every single interaction that you have with others and the impact that you have on who they become as leaders. You have a huge opportunity every single day through every interaction, every conversation, every email. Who do you want to be? How do you want to impact people? When we start to think about legacy in this way, it really helps us understand and boost our confidence to realize exactly how powerful we are. A CEO that I coached once, he articulated this really well. He said that because of his role, people just naturally look to him for reassurance about the company, about how they're doing, about the company's performance, about where the company's going. And it wasn't just in the formal meetings that he held, in the way he addressed through, you know, fireside chats or formal email updates that he would send out. Yes, those are all intentional touch points, and those are important, but those are formal teaching moments. It was everything that he did, he said, he wore, he reacted to that really impacted people. He said that the moment I step off that elevator in the morning, I am on, and people are looking to me for data and information. Sometimes we mistakenly think that people only learn from us during those teachable moments, the moments we choose. But the truth is, they are learning from us all the time, even when we're screwing up and making mistakes. So I love to use the flight attendant example. Not the one about the oxygen mask, although that's a great one. This is a different one. So if you've ever been on a flight that hits turbulence in a big way, what is the first thing that you do? Think about it. You're on a plane, you hit turbulence, the plane starts shaking, moving around. What is it that you do? Think about it. First thing that most people do, the answer I often get, is that you look to the flight attendant to see how they are responding. And this is your North Star. And this is exactly what leadership is. People are looking at you to see how you are responding because they take their cues from you. So how are you going to react when they look at you? What are you going to let them see? What are you going to let them interpret? I want to share a story about my leadership legacy from my career. I had a leader once who had a huge impact on my career. Now, he wasn't originally my direct leader. He actually worked in a different area of marketing, but he called on me many, many times to do projects for him and take on extra work, which I always did with a smile on my face, and I always said yes to. So fast forward to a couple years later when the company underwent some layoffs and he had to lay off his entire team. And it was a really tough time and he took a lot of heat. And I was left in the organization in my team. I was one of the very few that wasn't let go during this reorg and change in the organization. And in that short time that I worked for him, I had made such an incredible impact on him that I was top of mind and he was thinking about me when it came time to do the reorg. So here's what he did. He laid off a bunch of people in his organization. He brought it down to zero. And then he went and he hired me back to rebuild the organization. And I feel like this is one of the first times in my career that I had a manager who really made me feel appreciated, who really made me feel valued. He taught me many things in those years, but the most important thing that he taught me was to take risks and make unpopular decisions, to trust your gut. And this is the legacy that he instilled in me. Always trust your gut. Because what he did in laying off everyone else and then rehiring me, it was not a popular decision for him to clean out the whole org. But he did it because he trusted his gut, he trusted me, and he knew that I was the right person for the job. So part of his legacy is believing in people and taking risks. And that is exactly what he passed on to me. So many times in my career, I have made unpopular hiring decisions just because they felt right. I could never logically justify them, but they always, always worked out and they always paid off. And so that is his legacy alive and thriving in me. Okay, so we're wrapping up segment two here in our discussion on leadership legacy. Remember, it's not just about how we were remembered after we are gone, after we die. It's about every opportunity we have every single day to impact people through our interactions. So let's wrap up this segment with a definition of leadership legacy. Your leadership legacy is the culmination of every single interaction you have with others and the impact you make on who they become as leaders. All right, welcome to segment three. So I've revealed what the top three mistakes are. I've talked to you about leadership legacy and how to invest in being a great leader. In this segment, we're going to talk about how to build a leadership brand. And I want you to think about what you do and how you show up and how powerful this is as a leader. And this means having a clear vision for who you want to be as a leader. And you build this brand through a process of three distinct items. Step number one, determining primarily the first impression that you want to have as a leader. Now, this is quite literally boiled down to a way of summarizing how people would describe you as a leader. What is that first impression? So to do this, you start by making a list of at least five leaders that you admire. Now, this can be leaders that you've worked for. It could be famous people like Sheryl Sandberg, Bill Gates, Tim Cook, Reed Hastings, Oprah, Brene Brown, people you don't actually know. And it doesn't matter who they are, just write down at least five people. And then you list out the positive qualities that each of them have as leaders. So whether you've worked with them directly, you know what those qualities are, or if they are someone fictitious or they are an author or someone you don't actually know, you can write down what you think that their positive qualities would be. And then I want you to go through that list and circle the items that are in common and come up with at least 3 to 5 qualities that you want to embody as a leader. Then it's gut check time. Is this the impact that you want to have as a leader? Are these the qualities that you want to have? Make a short list. So use these other people as inspiration, and you might have the exact same qualities that they have. Or it might inspire you to say, no, actually, these are really good, but the ones that I want to have for me are X, Y, and Z. All right? So that is step one. Either way, go through that process and end up with 3 to 5 different qualities that you want to embody as a leader, all right? So that's step one of determining your leadership brand. Step two is to make a list of 5 to 7 of your greatest accomplishments that you've achieved over the years. Could be projects, it could be big, could be small, it could be something that you worked on for a day, something that you did over the course of 2 years, like a big project. It could be an offsite. It doesn't matter. Write out the list of what you've done and then analyze this list to determine what you want to be known for. Be really introspective here and list out 5 to 7 of the common compliments that you also receive from others. Are there themes here between the compliments and the achievements? You might agree with them, you might not, it doesn't matter. This isn't about you and what you want. This is about how you are seen by others. Then I want you to review this list and either pick one of the items to be your greatest strength or to shortlist what you think as a common way of what your leadership brand is representing. This is your impact. That's step two. Step three of determining your leadership brand is coming up with your unique or quirky quality. Now, this can be something that you are known for or something that you do regularly in meetings, like, you know, starting each meeting off with a personal check-in or a meditation or signing your emails off with something unique. It could be how you interact with others. It could be how you figure out, you know, your unique way of impacting people. This is about letting your freak flag fly. And it can be something small and tactical, like a meeting protocol, or it can be something big that is more philosophical about how you manage employees and what you become known for. All right, there you have it. Those are 3 aspects of what you can start to chip away at to determine what your leadership brand is. Now, there are many, many other things that you're going to do over the years to either consciously or subconsciously build your leadership brand. But those are 3 simple things that you can start to do right now to intentionally build your leadership brand. And there you have it. That wraps up segment number 3. So we've just started to define that leadership brand, knowing what your strengths are, knowing the impact that you have on others, and designing your freak flag and letting it fly high. Okay, it's time to wrap up this episode on the biggest mistakes that managers make. As always, if you were inspired or learned from this content today, please share this episode on with someone, either a friend, a colleague, an employee, a peer, or just someone in general on social media. You can also subscribe to this podcast on my website at thecorporateyogi.com. And if you feel inspired to book a time to chat with me directly, then you can do so and we can discuss your leadership directly or discuss coaching in general. And you can find my booking link either on LinkedIn or on Instagram. And as always, please remember that any fear or any resistance that you hold deep inside of you is simply just your greatness in disguise.